This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 10th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, it's a big weekend for the WTO. The battle over the Packers and Stockyards Act enforcement heats up in Washington, D.C. Argentina has suspended all beef exports to keep the price down internally. And the Louis Dreyfus Company says it will build the world's largest biodiesel plant in northeastern Indiana. Dave Dickey will have details of all these stories shortly. And it all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels on Monday evening, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium. Panelists for the meeting include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. That's at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium this Monday, March 13th at 7 p.m. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 374.5, up 3.75 today. May contract at 381.5, up a half. March wheat in Kansas City up 8 cents for the day at $4.47 a bushel. From the corn pit in Chicago, March corn at 226, up 2.75. May futures at 234.5, up 2.5. And the July contract at $2.45 a bushel, up 2.75. December futures, $2.63, up 2.25 as well. Soy complex now, March beans, 578.25, a penny and 3/4 higher. The May futures at 589.25, up 1.5. And the July contract at $6.5, up 3/4. November soybeans up 0.5 cent at 614.75. March bean meal, 172.40. They were off a dime. The March bean oil at 23.85, and the products were up a dime for the day at 23.85. March feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange, 101.57.5, down $1.97.5. The April live cattle at 83.45 were down 52.5 cents, and the April lean hogs at $58.57.5 a hundredweight were down 7.5 cents today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at the futures market in Chicago is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good to talk to you again, Todd.
Well,
nice to be here.
Yeah, I know you're a farmer, and you and I talked just before we went on the air. You've been stuck inside all day. You didn't know that it was just as gorgeous as it could be outside. At least it is here. I know you've got a few clouds there in Lafayette, Indiana. But here on the campus of the U of I for Explore ACES and Engineering Open House today and tomorrow, just magnificent. About 53 degrees outside the campus of the U of I today. And it makes you want to be outside and not inside doing much of anything. But the markets go on, especially this morning after the numbers from USDA were released. No real surprises in those numbers, were there this morning?
Well, not really, Todd. I mean, we thought out the USDA report would be the major factor today, but lo and behold, the Feds couldn't let us go a whole week without coming in and influencing the market.
And how did they do that?
Well, they came in and bought their, right before I talked to Dave Dickey earlier in the day, we were pretty much lower all day, and the Feds came into the wheat market, jumped over in corn, and bought some beans, and that shot the prices up after kind of throwing off somewhat of a bearish report, I'd say.
What did you see that was bearish in the report? Just a continuation of the numbers? The numbers really didn't change very much. I believe the corn was down about $50 million in the carryout. Wheat was exactly the same. And the beans were up, what, 10 million bushels or something on
the
carryout? The
bean number went up, and I think the bean oil was one of the highest carryovers since 2000, 2001. And then I think we also started to see maybe the USDA picking up on this bird flu, that that's going to hurt the meal demand down the road. And I think that's something that's going to bear watching, is eventually that bird flu is going to get in the United States.
I'm going to have to go back in and pull the products up, because I really didn't take a look at them very closely this morning. But we'll do that before Commodity Week yet this evening when we tape that. The numbers actually, as they came in from the Indian stocks, look like this. Corn at 2.351 billion. Last month at 2.401. All of that change, I believe, came in the export number, as there were about 50 million greater exports expected by USDA. Soy complex, 565 million by the time we get to this fall, left in the bin. Last month, 555. And the wheat at 542. That's 542 million. And that was the same as last month as well. So where do we go from here?
Well, I think it was positive to see that the funds liked the corn market again. The wheat market, Kansas City, interesting enough, there were a big rally there, but some funds selling over in the Chicago wheat. And the last few minutes of the wheat trade was exciting there, because we were up pretty good until the last 5 minutes, and then they came in and slammed that Chicago back down. So they liked that Kansas City-Chicago spread again. And I think it was a little bit weak in the bean market. That rally we had was pretty weak, and I think the charts are starting to look a little bit weak to us on the bean side of it.
Yeah, the charts may be looking weak. In fact, on the weekly chart, you'll see a 15-cent drop in the beans to 578 and a quarter, that down from last Friday's close. And the March contract, November's were off 12 and three quarters. Are you taking time now to rethink strategies on the beans, or has it been always the thought that this market will move lower?
Well, I think we got to recognize as producers, Todd, that the $6 new crop bean price is not a bad place to do some marketing there. And I think because the funds have driven the market up in the futures, the basis hasn't maybe kept track and caught up as well, that put options are a pretty good tool to use here when you have a futures-led, fund-driven market rally.
And as a farmer, have you thought much about changing the mix of crop that you're putting in the ground, or have you heard from farmers in the Illinois, Indiana, Iowa area that they're expecting much change?
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit more interest in corn with the rally. If you notice, the December corn has made some new highs, but the November beans haven't kept track. We're still in the 614, 620 range, where we see the December corn, you know, get up to 266 and continue to look like it wants to run up. Informa came out with their numbers today. They did boost up the corn acreage a little bit and reduce the beans, and I think that's probably what's going on a little bit out there, although still significantly lower corn acres than last year and more bean acres.
What did you make of, let's go back just a bit to the products, and tell me what you think of USDA's predictions on the bird flu side and meal usage around the nation and around the globe. Will that really come to fruition? I've heard some other analysts say, well, it's already been built into the market, and poultry is backing up here in the U.S., but it will soon enough get changed out, and the bird flocks can go up and down in size fairly quickly.
I think it goes back to the consumer. I mean, you look out there, and again, when 40% of American consumers say they're going to stop eating chicken the day it gets here, I think that's significant. I'd hate to be in the chicken business right now. I think that'd be pretty scary. It will come back. Chickens reproduce. You know, we can get the herds up much more quickly. But it's another negative. The bean market just doesn't need it. I mean, we got way too many beans. We got too much meal and too much oil. You don't need something like bird flu right now.
And let's stay with the livestock. Tell me about the mercantile exchange, where it looks like the feeder cattle might move down towards the $100 or maybe below level at for the first time, I don't know, in for as long as I can remember, in recent memory anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a case of what we saw, a lot of fund activity in the cattle earlier in the winter. And I think a big part of that is starting to show up here as too, as the funds leave the markets. And we knew cattle were probably overvalued there, and certainly it's making it even uglier when it goes down, because I think in the cash cattle market, you're seeing cash cattle above the futures price, and I think we're just getting an over-exaggeration to the downside from the funds leaving the market, and they over-exaggerated to the upside. So I think there's a lesson to be learned there we could tie back to maybe the bean market down the road.
And as we let you go for the day, have you guys had any discussions this week that you want to make sure everybody gets passed on to them?
Pretty much a lot of farmers, you know, I think you can get complacent when you see this nice action in markets, good up days, but I think we need to look down the road and say, guys, we're getting ready to go into the field and maybe a marketing plan. We all talk about it at all the meetings. Time to really implement that, Todd, and get ready for planting.
We appreciate you being with us today, Chuck.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Just to recap some of the numbers that were released from USDA this morning at 7:30 a.m., the ending stocks for March, for the month of March now, at the end of this year for the harvesting, or for the at the end of this marketing year, which comes in the fall, corn expected on hand at 2.351 billion bushels, soybeans at 565 million, and wheat at 542 million. Some of the other numbers, the planted acreage not changed at 81.8 million acres, harvested at 75.1, and that stays the same. USDA still saying corn farmers will harvest an 11.112 billion bushel corn crop this fall. Soy complex for the beans, planted acreage at 72.1, and that's unchanged from last month. The harvested at 71.4, the same as well. And they're expecting the total production for this year at 3.086 billion bushels. So that's a quick look at some of the numbers that USDA released this morning in their WASDE World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimates. And, of course, the ending stocks numbers. You can get a complete look at those on our website at WILLAG.org if you'd like. And there you can also have them delivered to you. I know they will be in this weekend's newsletter. You can subscribe to that simply by scrolling down our Ag homepage and hitting subscribe. That's all on WILLAG.org. Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name is Steve Hilberg. AM580's own Jay Searle's forecast for tonight calls for increasing clouds again, some scattered showers, some thunderstorms. They'll develop first in southern Illinois and spread across Illinois into Indiana by the morning. Lows will range, he says, from 35 in northwestern Illinois to 50 in southern Indiana this evening. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, some scattering of showers and thunderstorms. Those storms will increase across Illinois Saturday night into Sunday morning and spread into Indiana. Highs Saturday will be in the 50s for the north to the lower 70s in southern Illinois. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a look at your agricultural news.
In agricultural news, with time running out, key WTO ministers meet in London this weekend to see if countries will finally make the tough decisions on reducing their tariffs and subsidies. Just 6 weeks remain before a framework agreement in the Doha round needs to be in place, and most analysts believe chances for a breakthrough are slim. Ministers from Australia, Brazil, India, Japan, and the U.S. will be at the London meeting. It will focus on industrial goods and services negotiations in addition to farm trade. Members of the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee told USDA officials on Thursday that they are not buying into the notion that USDA is now starting to seriously investigate violations of the Packers and Stockyards Act. Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss of Georgia said Congress will not tolerate further inaction by GPSA.
It is totally unacceptable for our government to conduct business in this way. And I fully expect the Department of Agriculture to swiftly and honestly respond to actions in the marketplace that might signal anti-competitive behavior. Not doing so calls into question the ability of the department to oversee the Packers and Stockyards Act.
And Dan Bertone, the acting director of the Government Accountability Office, said GPSA should remain the subject of close oversight by Congress and the Inspector General for the foreseeable future.
As noted this morning, GPSA has stated its intent to address the new OIG findings as well as our prior recommendations. However, given its lack of progress in implementing report recommendations dating back nearly a decade, continued vigilance and monitoring by the OIG and other oversight entities will be essential.
Packers and Stockyards Act enforcement has become a more sensitive issue for at least some producers in recent years, as four major meatpacking companies, Tyson, Smithfield, Cargill, and Swift, control 80% of the livestock industry. Argentina has suspended almost all beef exports for at least 180 days. Government officials say the unusual measure is necessary to prevent surging international demand from pushing local beef prices beyond the purchasing power of Argentine families. A French company plans to build a plant capable of producing more than 80 million gallons of biodiesel each year in northern Indiana. Louis Dreyfus Agriculture Industries plans this spring to start building the $135 million plant, which would employ 85 workers. Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt says yesterday's announcement is good news.
Obviously, we're very happy for agriculture, an industry that is so important to the state of Indiana, that we're seeing this kind of interest, that we're going to be able to extend our processing, extend the basic product that we produce, soybeans, into multiple products.
It will be the ninth biofuel plant in development in Indiana. Currently, just one plant is in operation, that in South Bend. Indiana's goal is to produce a combined 1 billion gallons of ethanol and biodiesel annually. And USDA has finally announced final rules for implementation of the Federal Bio-Based Products Preferred Procurement Program. The program, authorized by the 2002 Farm Bill, requires all federal agencies to give preference in purchasing bio-based products. The final rule announced Thursday designates six items for federal procurement: hydraulic fluids, bio-based roof coatings, water tank coatings, diesel fuel additives, penetrating lubricants, and bedding, bed linens, and towels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That program, by the way, airs at 11:30 a.m. Central Time Saturday mornings. And if you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website, just like all the other programming, at willag.org. Our guest this week is Steve Erdman of the EFG Group. Speaking of the weekend, it's Explore Aces Open House this weekend. Finishes up at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, but tomorrow the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences invites all college-bound students to come and visit the campus of the University of Illinois. Explore Aces starts at 10 o'clock, finishes up at 2 o'clock tomorrow. There is a lunch available. Most of the buildings are open, and you can come and even see a classroom activity if you'd like. All kinds of activities happening here on the campus of the University of Illinois this week. And Explore Aces from 10 to 2 tomorrow. The welcoming tent reported at one point to be in front of the library. That's not the case. It is actually in front of the Edward R. Madigan Laboratory. Ermal, as it is called, is located at Gregory and Goodwin Avenue. It's actually at the T there. Goodwin stops on the south end of campus and runs right into Gregory Avenue. There's a big white tent in front of Ermal. That's where you'll want to register to find out all the things that are happening at Explore Aces. Our invitation to all those college-bound students looking for an agricultural curriculum to come and visit the University of Illinois.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Thank you.
Taking a quick look at some of the other numbers that were released this morning by USDA, the world agricultural and supply demand estimates look like this in the way of changes today. Australian wheat at 24.5. That's up from the 24 crop that they were expected to produce. The EU 25 wheat at 123, up from 122.9. And the China corn stayed the same. Just wanted to make sure you had that number. It is the second largest corn crop on the planet at 134 million metric tons. The Brazilian corn at 41 million metric tons, down from the 42.5 that was predicted in February. Brazilian beans at 58.5, still the same. And the Argentine soybeans up just slightly at 40.5 million metric tons. And that compares to 40 million metric tons last month on USDA's prediction. Well, Bruce Bostard not available this afternoon, but Paul Cooley has agreed to join us for just a bit to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Paul, from AGM Investor Services.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us again this afternoon. Anything change for you in the last couple of days, or as you take a look at the numbers on the weekly changes in the beans in particular, down 15 cents for the March for the week, Nove's off 12 and three quarters?
You know, Todd, when we first looked at the USDA supply-demand numbers, we said to ourselves on the U.S. numbers, well, this is pretty much what the doctor ordered, until we got into the world carryovers, in which we actually saw bigger production, production estimates or carryover numbers on corn, soybeans, and wheat. The corn, of course, is changes in some of the feed demand in the world. Generally, we understand that, you know, the farmers are very busy doing other things. This is kind of an exciting day here in Oakland. We had a lot of visitors to our office. There's a fairly large land sale, about 690 acres. It's being sold right now in Oakland, Illinois. So we had visitors from all over the state of Illinois in our office today, and we had a lot of nice conversation about the weather, growing conditions, and commodity markets. Farmers, I think, have other things on their mind right now than selling too much cash grain in the marketplace. But the general feeling is that there is some realization, particularly in soybeans, to go on and push the envelope more forward and moving more soybeans into the marketplace. And that's old and even new crop, from the feelings we get.
Now, those numbers from the global ending stocks, by the way, that you mentioned a bit earlier, looked like this. The ending stocks for wheat now at 142.62 million metric tons. That compared to 141.96 last month. Corn ending stocks at 130.15 compares to 128.16. And the soybean ending stocks at 54.42 compared to 53.83 million metric tons. So on the global side of this ledger, everything up just slightly in terms of carryover, and I suppose that could weigh on the market for some time.
Yes, it did. And today, the private weather people were not promising much rainfall in the winter wheat growing area, and it was interesting to see how the markets, particularly in soybeans and wheat, just kind of eased down. Kansas City stayed strong. So the drier weather forecast in the wheat country was supportive, I think, to all the commodity markets in Chicago.
Thanks, Paul, for filling in for short notice, and we will be looking forward to a report on what that 690 sold for next Wednesday when we talk to you.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joining us here on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll return in just about 2 minutes to take a look at the ag weather with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Prosecutors have completed their rebuttal in former Illinois Governor George Ryan's political corruption trial. In his final remarks, Assistant U.S. Attorney Patrick Collins told jurors not to buy the defense claim that Ryan's underlings were to blame for the massive political corruption scandal. Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer is now delivering final instructions to the jury in the five-month trial in Chicago. Democratic State Treasurer's candidate Paul Mangieri says Illinois faces a pension funding crisis of biblical proportions. Visiting Urbana today, Mangieri outlined a plan to shore up the state's underfunded state pensions. The proposal includes auctioning off the state's unused 10th Riverboat Casino license. Mangieri, currently Knox County State's attorney, is running against Chicago banker Alex Janulius in the Democratic primary for treasurer. Democratic gubernatorial challenger Edwin Eisendrath says Governor Rob Blagojevich is dodging questions about the state's hate crimes commission and his decision to appoint a Nation of Islam member to serve on it. Eisendrath says he would abolish the commission and start over. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels plans to lead a small delegation of top Hoosier business leaders and elected officials to Japan and South Korea this summer. Daniels says he thinks the best prospects for creating new jobs here are through foreign nations like Japan and South Korea. Synergy Corporation shareholders have approved the Cincinnati-based company's acquisition by North Carolina-based Duke Energy Corporation. Duke Energy shareholders are also meeting today to vote on the $9 billion acquisition. Synergy's public utilities serve customers in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. Some visually impaired students are asking why Chicago's public schools require them to pass a driver's education exam in order to graduate. They say the rule takes time away from learning material they might actually use. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage on WILL. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me how much rainfall we've had in the past week here in the state of Illinois and where we still remain in deficit, please.
Well, as far as March is concerned, we're doing very well across the state. Through the first 10 days of March, precipitation is running almost over three times normal in the southern quarter of the state, near normal through most of the northern and central portions of the state, and well above normal in the north. So we picked up a lot of good precipitation in the last week and much of it in the last 3 days, and it looks like we're in for a couple of days of more rainfall, too.
Tell me about those, please.
Well, we got a continuing train of systems coming out of the plains. We got a break today, of course. We got a little bit of sunshine now and nice weather. But starting tomorrow, we'll see another system coming through, actually later on tonight, bringing us some showers and thunderstorms with perhaps more substantial rainfall on Sunday. So much of central and north-central Illinois could pick up another half to an inch of rain. And I think probably by the middle of next week, most of the state will be at its normal March rainfall. So anything on top of that for the rest of the month will be pretty much gravy.
And that gravy, of course, will be very good for the upper portion of the state and the northern part of Illinois.
Yes, we're making a significant whack on the drought, but that's not going, this isn't going to knock the legs out from it entirely. This will be especially good for, especially if we can get some dry weather early in April for the start of planting season, because we'll get a lot of moisture into the soil. But really, to break this drought down, we're going to need regular and near-normal rainfall probably for the next 2 months or so. And if that happens, I think we'll be in pretty good shape for the growing season.
Any place else across the Midwest or around the nation that we really need to keep an eye on? I know the Plain States are still suffering, and the Southwest still hot and dry.
Yeah, some of the drought areas in Missouri got some relief this last week, picked up a lot of rainfall, but they're still fairly dry through the northern plains all the way down into the northern Texas. So still a lot of dry weather there, although these next couple of systems hold promise for at least some precipitation. But that is going to be an area to keep on watching for the next couple of weeks.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us.
Okay, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here at the Champaign office in Champaign County, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We hope that you will join us here on campus if you have students that are college-bound sometime in the next 6 to 7 years. It is open house weekend here with Engineering Open House on the northern end of the campus and Explore ACES, the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences Open House on the southern end of the campus. It'll close up shop about 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's only about an hour and a half time left for the open house this afternoon, but both ends, I believe, are open tomorrow. And the College of ACES open house runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. The headquarter tent is right at the south end of Goodwin Avenue. So if you're going south on Goodwin Avenue from University Avenue, you'll see a white tent right in front of the Madigan Laboratory. And that's where you should check in for Explore ACES. Have a great afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.